following talk is from St. Michael's Fulwell, a gospel-centered community for Fulwell, Teddington and beyond. Our passion is to see every life following Jesus. For more information, visit our website, stmichaelsfulwell.co.uk.
Pick up your Bible, because we're going to have Kate's going to bring us our Bible reading in just a sec. And turn to Matthew chapter 9. Verse 35, which is on page 974 in your church Bibles. Some handouts are coming out. If it would be helpful to follow along, do grab one of those.
Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field."
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much. Well, do keep that open in front of you, Matthew chapter 9. This handout will hopefully be helpful for us as well. Let me pray as we come to God's word. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you speak to us through your word, the Bible. And we have here the words of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking to his disciples. And please, Lord, give us hearts, give us minds to hear what Jesus has to say. Help us to understand even more of who he is, of what he came to do, of what he longs for this world. And Lord, would we share his heart too. In his name we pray. Amen. You might have seen in the news this week some quite remarkable news, some brilliant news. Huntington's disease is one of the most dreadful hereditary diseases there are out there. Over time, brain cells die, and the effect it has on a person is really a combination of dementia, Parkinson's, motor neuron disease. It's a horrible, horrible disease, which is why this headline in the news this week was really quite remarkable. The headline went, "Huntington's disease successfully treated for the first time." And whole load of people across the globe were involved in it. The picture here, two professors in the UK part of the trial, Ed Wild and Sarah Taprizzi, and they just look thrilled, don't they? They're delighted. They're so excited because they have amazing news. What their work has done is to enable Huntington's to be slowed down by 75%. For these brain cells to die 75% slower, literally giving many, many years of life to people who thought that they were condemned to an early death. Amazing. Not often you see that in the news at the moment. You look at some news, you just see some fantastic news. And the article that I read spoke about just how emotional the team were, not surprisingly, for very, very good reason. What an enormous difference that will make to many lives. Now, why say all of this? Well, I love the description of Jesus at the beginning there that Kate read from Matthew 9, verse 35. It's an amazing description of what Jesus did on the earth. We read this: Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. I don't know about you, it's very easy as you read through the Bible just to sort of skip over, gloss over a line like that and not really take it in what's going on here. Here is Jesus, he's going through all the towns and villages, not just some towns. This is not just a stroll bumping into people and telling those people about him. This is determined. This is a major effort on Jesus' behalf. And what's he doing? He's going around. He's teaching people from the scriptures. He's proclaiming the good news about himself, that he's bringing in a new kingdom, that he's calling people to be a part of this kingdom. And then he did some stuff which gave people an idea, a taste of the type of kingdom he was bringing in. That's why he was bringing healing. Healing to every disease and sickness. So every skin disease, every cancer, every heart disease, every injury, every hereditary disease, Jesus healed. And he did that to point us to the ultimate healing that his salvation brings. The eternal life, the resurrection life, the new creation life that is available for all who put their trust in him. Jesus came with amazing, amazing news. He brought in a new kingdom. He will one day bring in a new creation, one through his life, his death, his resurrection. And it is available to anyone who trusts in him. And so when we hear about wonderful medical advances like Huntington's, which is just fantastic news, news to be shared, enjoyed, passed on, broadcast far and wide, of course. But how much more the good news about Jesus and the ultimate healing that he offers to all that trust in him. Today, I mentioned earlier, is Vision Sunday, and it's a chance for us just to sort of reset a little bit as a church, because we can be a little bit like a leaky bucket, can't we? It's often said, vision leaks like a leaky bucket. What the Lord is calling us to do, we can fill it up, and then it just sort of drains away. And so we need to keep filling it up. We need to keep coming back to what the Lord is calling us to be as Christians, as a church, and that includes for us here at St. Michael's. And we're going to be doing that a little bit today, and on Thursday evenings we've got our vision dinner, and do come to that if you possibly can come. It's a wonderful evening, great to spend time with one another. It's not too late to sign up, a great way of getting to know one another, but also thinking a little bit more about what we're about as a church. And then the following week in home groups, there's a bit of a space to discuss all of this as well. Why do we exist as a church? What is our purpose? What are we trying to do? Well, we've already thought our vision as a church is to see every life following Jesus. That is our longing. And that is true for every member of this church family. We want to encourage one another to follow Jesus with our whole lives, to be disciples. But more than that, surely there isn't a person we know that we wouldn't wish to follow Jesus. Isn't that right? Can we think of anyone that we know that actually we wouldn't wish to follow Jesus? We long for everyone, every life, to follow Jesus, the one who brings this incredible salvation, healing from every disease and sickness, who offers eternal life, who is the king of this wonderful new kingdom, the leader we all need, the one who brings us into relationship with the one who made us. Don't we want that for everyone, every life, to follow him? But our particular focus this year is going to be on raising leaders. That's our particular focus, raising leaders. Hence this passage that we're looking at this morning. These are words that we need to hear. It's a really important part of Matthew's gospel. It's a key moment. And Jesus has two big headlines to say. One, the harvest is plentiful. Two, the workers are few. The harvest is plentiful. The workers are few. And we're going to just spend a little bit of time digging into each of these. So first, the harvest is plentiful. I reckon there are many different ways in which this harvest is a brilliant metaphor, but two particularly, I think, pull out as to what Jesus is wanting to do with this idea that the harvest is plentiful. I think the first is to say there is opportunity. There is an amazing opportunity. Jesus is saying that there are many people ripe and ready to hear and respond to the gospel. Now, if we're honest, that probably feels a little bit counterintuitive. We probably think that the biggest challenge is actually that people aren't interested, aren't ready to hear the gospel. And of course, there's a lot of truth in that. A lot of people are very hardened to the idea of God, let alone the idea of Jesus. But Jesus is not saying that. Jesus here is saying that actually the harvest is plentiful, it's ripe. There are plenty of people ready to be gathered into his kingdom. And there's a sense in which that's always been the case. But I think there are some quite big hints, and a number of people are highlighting this at the moment, that this is increasingly the case here in the UK. I don't know if you've noticed that, if you've felt that. So let me bombard you with a blizzard of stats to see what you make of this. Something I've mentioned in the past is a report that came out quite recently, a few months ago, called The Quiet Revival, produced by the Bible Society. It was based on two large surveys, one that was taken place back in 2018, 20,000 people, just under, and then another in 2024, about 13,000 people, by YouGov. And their big finding, their big headline finding, was that they identified that those who regularly go to church has risen in the last 6 years from 8% to 12%. 8% to 12% of people who responded said that they regularly go to church. Now, there's been a bit of controversy over that. It's hard to judge how accurate that is. Not many churches are reporting 50% growth in their numbers. But it's true to say many, including our own, are speaking of significant growth over those years. Some of you might have come across Glenn Scrivener. He was speaking at a commission event earlier this week. And he said more than anything, what he felt these figures say is perhaps that they reflect a much greater social permission to say that you go to church. It's less weird or niche than it used to be. Even in the last few years, it's become a more normal thing to say, I go to church. Strikingly, this survey also found that 33% of people who don't currently go to church say that they would if they're invited. That's one in three across the UK. Say that if they're invited to church, they would say yes. Okay, two out of three, no thank you very much. But one out of three, that's not bad, is it? So there's some evidence from the Quiet Revival report. Also, did you know Bible sales have gone up significantly in recent years? Between 2019 and 2024, there has been an 87% increase in Bible sales. And the Bible Society, again, they speak of their Good News edition, Youth Edition. They say sales have doubled since 2021. And that's striking, being the Youth Edition, because much of this seems to be driven by Gen Z, those currently aged between 13 and 28, are showing a much greater interest in spiritual things than many of their parents did. Some of you would have come across this article by James Marriott. I think it went out on St. Michael's social media. And James Marriott wrote this in the middle of August. He wrote an article with this headline, Full Fat Faith, the Young Christian Converts Filling Our Churches. And he writes this, the traditional consolations of a well-lived secular life are weakening. Romance, friendship, family and materialism figure less prominently as sources of meaning in the lives of a generation that is poorer, lonelier, less sexually active, less sociable, and less likely to start a family. And in the age of the smartphone, innate short-form videos and social media doom-scrolling are undoubtedly addictively entertaining, but not very profound or spiritually nourishing. It's striking, isn't it? There's a hunger that seems to be growing, especially amongst our young. Others have pointed out how the West has run out of road and that people are searching for a new story to live by. You might have come across this book by Justin Briley, the broadcaster and author. He was one of the first to spot this change, and he described it as a kind of a turning of the tide, as though the tide of faith has been going out and now it's beginning to come back in. He wrote a book called The Surprising Rebirth of Belief in God. Now, I could go on and on and on about this. What would be so interesting, over coffee later on, ask one another, has this been your experience? I wonder, have we noticed this with our friends, our colleagues, on the school gate, in our conversations? Is there an increased interest in things of faith, in things of God? Certainly across the country, it seems that there is. And so there is a great harvest out there. There are many, many people interested in God. Maybe this has been your story. Maybe you are someone who has come to faith very recently. You've been drawn to Christianity. You've been drawn to Jesus Christ. I think it has an important implication for us in our vision as a church, all of this. As someone once said, don't set your vision by the size of your barn, but set your vision by the size of your field. Don't set your vision by the size of your barn, but set your vision by the size of your field. It is very easy to think, well, we're pretty full. Job done. And that would be a disaster, isn't it? Because there are many hundreds, thousands of people in Fulwell, Teddington, and beyond who don't yet know the Lord Jesus Christ and would love to know him. So there's a huge opportunity, Today is the day of salvation. We have good news to proclaim, to live out, to bring to many. Which brings us to the second thing I think this harvest metaphor speaks of, and that's the urgency, not just the opportunity, but the urgency that there is. And not so long ago, I was on a farm at peak harvest time. And it's fair to say I felt like I stuck out like a sore thumb, very much a city dweller, out of my comfort zone. And all around me was just this whirlwind of activity. It was a bright, sunny day, and there were combines going everywhere. The tractors were bringing in the grain from all the different corners of the farm. There was a huge sense of urgency and focus, head down, work to be done. This was the moment. And I remember speaking to the farmer and saying, you seem to be working pretty hard here. And his response was this: I never trust weather forecasts. I always assume this will be the last day of sun. There's not a moment to lose. Not a moment to lose. This is the day to be gathering in the harvest. And so it is with the task that Jesus is speaking of here. This is harvest time. The weather is set fair. And so there is a sense of urgency. There should be a sense of focus to it all. And I wonder, do we feel that? Today is the day. Who knows what tomorrow will bring? This is the year of the Lord's favor. Now is the time. I guess there is a danger for us of not sensing the time. There's a danger perhaps also not really caring, which I guess is why it's wonderful for us to look to Jesus. Have a look at Jesus and how he responds to the crowds. Verse 36 is just a wonderful description of Jesus. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. That word compassion is a word actually only ever used of Jesus four times in Matthew's gospel. And it is a very rich word. It means, it's a word that sort of talks about one's guts, one's deepest innards. And so what this is talking about is that Jesus has a compassion, not just a sort of light, frothy compassion. He has a gut-wrenching compassion. He has a deep tenderness for people. Here's the thing. How does God feel about this world? How does he feel about people in it? Well, when God took on humanity in Jesus, and he came and he looked at this world, and he looked at all the people in this world, he didn't feel disdain. He didn't feel frustration, irritation. That's not what we're told he felt. But rather, he felt a gut-wrenching compassion. He felt for people. He saw that people are harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd, that people are desperately in need. I guess there's some challenge for us in that. When we see a crowd, what do we see? We might see many problems. We might see many challenges. We'll see in so many ways the misery of sin. We'll see the frailty of our bodies. We'll see the dysfunction of society. So many needs we'll see. But more than anything else, we need to feel a compassion, and we need to see that people need a shepherd. People need a shepherd. That is people's greatest need. That is my greatest need. That is your greatest need. That is the world's greatest need. We need a shepherd. And Jesus came as the good shepherd. And so people's greatest need is Jesus. People's greatest need is Jesus. And Jesus is one who has a gut-wrenching compassion for others. The harvest is plentiful. Second, the challenge is, Jesus says, the workers are few. The workers are few. Jesus says there is a great need for workers to go into his harvest field. And what is wonderful about this kind of invitation that Jesus is giving here is it's something we can all be involved in. There are lots of different ways of being a harvester. The whole project of harvesting needs loads of different people involved. So this is something that we do together as local churches. We do this together. But we also do it as individuals. We're to be followers of Jesus, disciples of Jesus, who make disciples, disciple-making disciples. We've each got a role to play. We've collectively got a role to play. We're going to be thinking about that much more on Thursday evening at our vision dinner. We're going to be spending some time thinking through how we can each play our part and celebrating how that's happening in so many different ways in our life together as a church. We'll be talking a little bit about some of the opportunities there are to get involved, to serve, to lead, to be trained. That's for Thursday evening. What I particularly want to focus on just this morning is the particular need for leaders, for spiritual leaders, and in particular for pastors in the UK at the moment. I think there's a sort of hint of this in this passage. Jesus is saying there's this need for shepherds, that people are like sheep without a shepherd. And of course, Jesus is the good shepherd. But in referring to this here in Matthew, Jesus is referring back to a passage in the Old Testament, Ezekiel 34, which spoke of how Israel lacked spiritual leadership. Those who were supposed to be leading Israel then were just not doing their job. They were not looking after people well. They were in it for themselves. They were neglectful of the flock, as it were. And Jesus is saying that was a massive problem, and he's come as a solution to that problem. He is the good shepherd. But with that, he says there is a need to raise up workers, and perhaps particularly a need to raise up leaders and leaders of churches, of God's people. Now, again, let me share with you some stats here, because the need is huge. And there are all sorts of information to show how that's the case. So did you know ordination numbers? So ordination are those people who are being trained to be ordained into the Church of England, to lead churches in the Church of England. And the number of recommendations for ordination has plummeted in the last few years. So in 2018, 580 people were recommended for ordination and went to training. In 2023, that had gone down to 379, a 34% reduction. That was a pretty dramatic decline. It might be going up a little bit, but it's difficult to judge where that's going now. Mission agencies speak about a really significant decline to the number of people saying they're willing to think about going overseas in mission. Theological colleges are dealing with significant decline. Just this past few weeks, one major theological college has had a massive impact on the Baptist church, Spurgeon's, has closed, has shut down. Training courses are also finding decreased numbers. Not all, some are growing, but a number are going down. So Cornhill and the Gospel Partnership training courses. So different training courses being run across the UK by Gospel Partnership, that's the churches coming together, have reported a decline in numbers. From 2018 to 2024, again, the decline has been 23%. In Commission, the network that we're a part of, runs a gospel ministry workshop for ministry trainees. And again, the numbers there have gone significantly down. Difficult to tell on this graph, but from 2017 to 2024, numbers have gone down here from 28 to 14. Actually, wonderfully, this year, they've gone up quite a lot. But that has been a decrease that has been in line with actually what we've seen elsewhere in the country. And a report that I was reading the other day that came out about a year ago for a big conference to try and sort of try and understand what's going on here, called the Yarnton Conference, that spoke of how many people in their sort of mid to late 20s to early 30s, often where people might go into full-time Christian ministry, were not doing so for all sorts of different reasons. Some saying, look, this is just not me. There was a big survey of them, people being asked, would you consider full-time gospel ministry? And people saying, look, this is why I haven't or I'm not. And some is absolutely fair enough. Just thinking, this is not for me. And of course, God calls us to many different places with many different gifts. We're to be the body of Christ, and the body has many different parts. So not everyone is cut out to be a church leader. But many are not going forward for different reasons, perhaps not such good reasons, and not necessarily of their own fault, but for concerns over finance. That's a big concern that keeps coming up. For concerns over the challenges of leadership. And all this is going on, all this decline in the numbers going into full-time Christian ministry is going on at the same time that there are about to be enormous openings. So clergy retirement numbers are going to be huge. Over the next 12 years, a recent report said that 47.5% of Church of England stipendiary clergy, those are the clergy who are paid, will retire. That's almost 50% of clergy in the Church of England are going to retire in the next 12 years. I mean, that's huge. But where are people coming up to replace? And there's a major problem for that. Now, why speak about this? Is this a little bit niche? Well, I think it's something for us as a whole church to be concerned about. The first thing we're called to do is to pray. We're going to be doing that in a few moments' time. But I do want to just raise a couple of things for us together as a church to be thinking about. Firstly, maybe there are people here who actually you might feel called to full-time gospel ministry. And you haven't really given it enough time of day. And perhaps haven't really thought it through. Maybe the Lord would love you to do that. It's not for everyone, of course. But maybe for you. And I'd love to put out that challenge, as it were. But also, I'd love us to think about us as a church, how this affects us. I think one of the things I've been so encouraged by for us as a church in the last few years, and one of our longings as a church, is to be raising up leaders and then to be sending them off. And in particular, raising up curates, as the Church of England calls it, assistant ministers, who come to train here and then to go off and be a part of a church plant or a church revitalization or some other new opportunity. And that's been so encouraging here, hasn't it, to see this happen with James Bunyan. If you're new here, you won't know James Bunyan. He was our curate over the last 3 years, and he's just gone to a church in Staines to revitalize that church and to be a part of that with a team. And it's been so exciting to see how that's been going over the past few weeks over this summer. And it's so encouraging also that we've been able to take on a new curate, Tim, that you've been meeting today, that many of you know well. And the idea there again is that he and Rosie might be able to lead a team, God willing, in a few years' time to do a similar thing. That's one small way in which we as a church can be a part of trying to send out workers into God's harvest field, where there is huge opportunity, where there is huge need. And it's just vital, and it's so exciting, and it's costly. It's worth saying that. We'll think a little bit about that next week as we think about Giving Sunday. But here's the last thing I'd love us just to think about as we come into land. I'd love us to think about our young as a church. A third of our church is under the age of 18. We have over 100 under 18-year-olds as a church. We have a wonderful responsibility for our young. And it's just wonderful how, as a church, right now, they are being served by a fantastic youth and children's team and so many volunteers are pouring into them. Wouldn't it be wonderful if in the coming few years, in the coming few decades, we at St. Michael's didn't just raise up one or two gospel leaders. But what about 10, 20 plus amongst our youth and our children? Here's a question. Here's a question to perhaps parents in particular. Honestly, how would you feel if your child wanted to go into full-time gospel ministry or to marry someone in full-time gospel ministry? How would you feel if they wanted to go into church leadership or onto the mission field? I guess what do we long for our children? I mean, in this part of the world, I guess we long for them to have great careers in maybe finance or consultancy or law or academia or medicine, education, tech, whatever it might be. Maybe that's what we're sort of driving for, wanting them to do well at school and university and then to get involved there. But how about plant this seed in our hearts? Why don't we long for them, if it's the right thing for them, to be a gospel leader, to be a church leader, to go out on the mission field? And not just in ones or twos, 10, 20 more amongst our young. Wouldn't that be so exciting for us as a church? Shouldn't that be something we long for? Because there is a huge need. The harvest is plentiful. People are harassed and helpless. They are looking for a shepherd. They need Jesus. But the workers are few. And Jesus encourages us, challenges us to be a part of that solution. The next chapter, chapter 10, if you have a look at, just oversee that. That is him sending out his disciples. You can read that maybe later on today. You might enjoy reading him send them out into the harvest field. So there's a real sense in going. But first, what is striking is that he calls us to pray. Verse 38, Jesus says this, "Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Ask the Lord of the harvest. We're to pray to the one who is Lord over it all. We're to pray, we're to trust in him. And then go. But we're going to begin by praying now. So let's just take a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for these words of Jesus. Lord, give us ears to hear. Give us eyes to see this wonderful harvest field. Would you grow in us a deep compassion for people? And help us collectively and as individuals to go and to tell people about Jesus and to call people to him, to his kingdom, to the one we need more than anything else. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.